This podcast is being sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Come visit us at ColdSlitherPodcast.com and then click on the link through our front page to MyComicShop.com. Shop there and keep the podcast going free. And you'll get new releases of comic books delivered right to your door. MyComicShop.com through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today. The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Clip Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim Deal Double G. And tonight I'm joined by at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter.
Hello. It's like, am I not getting any applause or anything?
Give me time. I don't want the applause to drown you out.
Jeez.
Make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And joining us after a couple weeks sabbatical is at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Hey, I have returned from the shadows.
Yep. And follow his News Nerds Need Twitter account to keep up to date with all the nice geek culture news.
Do it.
And not sure if at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter will be joining us tonight, but if he does, he'll just hop on and join the conversation. And make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and much more. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Follow our Twitter account, @theclicknation. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com. That's youtube.com/theclicknation. For all three of those places I plugged just now, as I see Agent 70 pops on. He heard me talking.
Yay! Sorry I'm late. As you can see, I've kept it formal because I'm literally just getting home. That's right. I second that.
On iTunes and Stitcher, make sure to give us 5-star reviews. Give us a thumbs up on Stitcher. Reshare episodes. Yeah, let me close this. I don't need it anymore. Let's see what else. Now I've lost my train of thought. What have I not played? Let's see. We're on two separate podcasting networks, the Comic Related Podcasting Network and Cold Slither Podcast Network. Go to comicrelated.com and coldslitherpodcast.com. And while you're on the Cold Slither Podcast, check out some of the family of podcast shows, the classic Team Up, Colors,
I was about to say the Bigger Bone and Rome Bad Advice Show.
Rasslecast is on there as well. Crowns and Collards, I believe, is a show. And Good and Terrible Show is another.
And a newer show, Chicken and Jollof Rice. So check that out.
I always want to get Chicken and Jollof and Crowns and Collards from together and mix and match the name. But I believe last week they did they both guested on each other's shows.
No kidding.
Week. Yeah.
So I'm going to have to download those.
Add us on Google Plus, search for The Click Nation. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. And remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Nine-ish.
So if you're subscribed to youtube.com/TheClickNation, you'll be kept up to date.
There you go.
All righty. Let's get to going over some of the news from the past week. Let's see. First up, of course, we do the cinematic news. And cinematic means TV and movies. A lot of casting news. Marvel's aka Jessica Jones adds trio of actors to cast. Fox orders a pilot of DC Comics' Lucifer. Is Lucifer like a Vertigo book, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay. Cerebro gets a redesign in X-Men Apocalypse. And there'll be another news article about X-Men Apocalypse later on. Shaft reboot in the works at New Line with Predator producer. Laura Benanti joins CBS's Supergirl as Allura Zor-El. Netflix's Daredevil teases possible Absorbing Man appearance. Supergirl casts its Cat Grant. Wonder Woman solo film begins shooting in the fall, apparently.
Allegedly. We'll see how that turns out.
Yes, that's why. Yes, definitely alleged. Viola Davis confirmed Suicide Squad role. So that had been rumored, and now it's official from the actress's mouth. Marvel Studios released new posters for Marvel.
Oh, we didn't lose them again.
Marvel's
Avengers Age of Ultron. What?
I always wonder, like, if that's just me. I have to sit there for a minute in silence. Like, does anyone else have heads moving around? I can't tell.
Yeah. We all do. We're all just like, testing, 1, 2, 3. I guess we're going to have to pull up that sheet. Where did we leave off?
Can y'all hear me?
Poster.
Hey, we can hear you, but you seem to be in and out.
You were transforming.
Ah, it's probably my stupid internet connection.
Oh, now your audio is really bad.
Hold on.
See, this is what net neutrality gets us, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Now we're screwed.
Live recording, folks.
I love net neutrality, by the way. So, you know, I don't mean anything untoward. No How negative tweets.
I don't, because I want Netflix to work.
Any better?
Yes, much better, much better. Yes, I. Good. Yeah, you're fine.
Had to tell it to. At first, I switched USB ports, and then I had to go into Google Plus and tell the settings to use.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wants to use the one that's built into your laptop.
Yeah.
USB, my headset. Let's see, going back on the roll here. So, yes, Avengers Age of Ultron posters revealed. Yesterday was Iron Man, today was Hulk. As the days go by, there'll be more, I'm sure.
It's unbelievable that that's getting closer and closer. You know, it used to feel like it was so far away. It used to feel like it was so far away. My goodness.
Best believe that whatever Thursday late night, or even here it's not really late night, whatever Thursday night they air it, Comic Book Chronicles will be delayed until that goes to you.
Oh, that's funny. All right. See, where are we here? Wow, I didn't know this. DuckTales, Danger Mouse, and Inspector Gadget are all getting rebooted?
I think you're muted, Tim.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Are you with us, Tim? Maybe not.
Okay.
All right. Well, good to see you, so, Roddy Cat, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. You too, sir. So the deal on the let me see. DuckTales is getting rebooted on Disney XD. Now, both Danger Mouse and Inspector Gadget are both coming to Netflix.
Wow.
Yeah, and Danger Mouse is going to be, well, I think the only casting is like Stephen Fry is going to be Colonel K.
Mm-hmm. So
that'll be pretty cool. And Inspector Gadget is going to be like CG.
Interesting.
And I think there's, if I remember correctly, I'm going off the head off of this one, but the article of, well, I can pull up the article. I think they're going to be started overseas first and then come over here.
Weird.
Oh, wait, no. See. No, because I did read something about that, and then, oh, okay, no, sorry, it's going the other way. It's going to start here, actually, wait, soon-ish. Inspector Gadget starting on the 15th, yeah, and it's going to be U.S. exclusive, and they were saying that anybody across the seas do whatever you need to do to deal with that.
America!
And then, yeah, and then DuckTales will start in 2017. And see, Danger Mouse starts next year. There we go.
Wow.
Now, there was a rumor that I think they were going to make Danger Mouse into a woman. I don't know if that's a separate project or if that was this or not. But according to this, it doesn't seem like it. So.
All right. So let's see here. The next bit of news is Supergirl on CBS is seeking to cast its very own Superman. So there is a casting call out for, quote unquote, a 5'11" or taller, square jawed, and has a ripped physique. Ah, man, see, now I'm out. To play the body double for a DC Comics superhero. All interested parties must email the application with Superman as the subject, seemingly removing any ambiguity. I love it.
Wait, body double, so that means they're going to be showing him from behind his back or something? Or?
I don't know.
I mean, well, Brandon Routh is on Arrow. I mean, is on Arrow. So all they got to do is come over here for a minute.
True enough, but he's too obviously too much associated with Superman Returns for that to seem like a positive thing to most fans. So
yeah.
Uh oh, it looks like Tim has gotten uncomfortable. He's gotten out of his comfort position to get back into the game.
Nope.
Oh, he's still working on it. Yeah. Still working on it. All right. Next, Ben Hardy lands an X-Men Apocalypse role. What does that mean?
Yeah, we don't think it said who he's going to be playing, but yeah, doesn't say who's going to be playing, just that he's going to be in it.
Alrighty. And who Ben Hardy is? Oh, okay, I was about to say, and who Ben Hardy is beyond me.
Yeah, so there are some EastEnders fans out there, I'm sure.
Shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to take this one, Roddy? Like it's right up your alley.
Sure. Comic book writers Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick signed deal with Universal TV. Will adapt Sex Criminals to series. So I enjoy that book. That's a great book. I'm kind of curious as to how it will translate to TV and where they will put it. But I'm assuming that's probably going to be on cable.
It's got to be. Or Netflix.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is basically talks about their deal. Talks a little bit about the deal, and they had other people. I think the article. Well, as a matter of fact, I think Fraction said earlier that there was more people that was involved within the deal than who they're saying in the article.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people they've basically dealt, you know, been working with, but they didn't put it in the article for whatever odd reason. So good for them. Congratulations.
All righty. Oh, here's what caught my eye this week. So when they released the first Avengers poster image of Iron Man, I guess part of the release was through Downey Jr.'s Facebook page, and as part of the post he teased a big announcement coming on March that will be landing on March 5th, so that's next Thursday. So we will likely have something to talk about on next Thursday's next week's edition of Comic Book Chronicle.
Yep.
No, he'll announce it at 9:05 Eastern.
Oh, and we'll just be sitting here waiting to break
it. So we can live tweet it.
That's right.
No, we'll totally miss it. We're talking about comics, not paying attention to anything else.
I love it. Alrighty. Let's see. Alrighty. Fans of Arrow want to take this one?
I haven't seen this week's, but I don't know who this person is. Murmur comes to Starling City as Oliver contemplates the offer. So something happened this week. I don't know what it is because I haven't watched it yet. And that is, which is going to lead into this next issue. Which is, I guess is going to lead into whenever this show happens on March 18th and whoever Murmur is.
All righty.
Well, one article I'm reading says that Murmur is a new villain specially written for the series.
Mm.
Wow, new intellectual property. Look at that.
He'll have his own limited series by the end of the summer.
All righty. And I guess we can wrap up this section of the news, or at least the TV movie section of the news, with this very interesting article about the development of what seems like a team-up show on the CW of some of the heroes that have been introduced through Arrow and the Flash. As a, you know, it's a spin-off show, and it's going to incorporate a lot of the characters that have been introduced.
Are they going to call it The Brave and the Bold?
Possibly. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Now, this is not the first time this has been spoken about, because they've said probably it was a good six to eight months ago about there being a spinoff with the Atom and possibly, well, not together, but the Atom and a Firestorm one. So I don't know if this is something like a group one with them, or this is something completely different from those rumors, or maybe they just scrapped those rumors and they're going with this.
Reincorporated, right, and reincorporated them into something new.
Right.
Has Firestorm been on Arrow?
Yeah. Not on Arrow, but on Flash.
Oh, yeah, definitely Flash.
Yeah. I'll catch up to it eventually.
I think, actually, that was another thing. That there was a picture probably a couple of weeks ago of that teased a potential guest appearance. But you got to figure it's going to happen at one point. And I don't know if that picture was true. It was just like one of the actors. I think the guy who plays Firestorm. I forgot it's two people, but kind of teased the picture and was like, "Nope, that's not. This is not the picture you're looking for." Jedi Mind Trick.
I love it. Alrighty. So now we're gonna move on to comic book. So there's apparently a ton of Dynamite news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, really?
Three or four dynamite. Let me stop. That's not.
Ah!
That's nice. So, yeah, there's going to be a new spirit. There's going to be, I guess, a crossover with Red Sonja, Vampirella, and I don't know who the other person is. There is going to be the Justice, the Avenger, which I keep thinking of the new universe book.
Justice, yes. Yes.
I want to say it was I don't know, but apparently that's like a public domain character at this point. I'm not sure. Wow. But anyway, there's a few books that are going to be coming out through them. So, cool. And I think also some, like, there's a figure down at the bottom of the article about some stuff they're doing.
A new Vampirella figure, it looks like.
Yeah. Which I think is not just that one. It's just the one they're showing off right now, because I did see another article around Toy Fair about them doing a line of toys.
Although I can't tell if it looks like a statue.
I think so, yeah. Well, was that?
It says a line of female figures, but looking at it, it just looks like a statue.
Right.
Yeah. But, all right, well, whatever.
That definitely looks like a statue.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
There you go.
Hey! There he goes.
I'm on twice.
Because you're so nice.
Because I'm scared.
Whoop.
What?
He's not catching a break.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
We can hear you. We can hear you. Yeah. Remember, we are live.
You need to go back to your old computer.
Yeah, I'm on my old computer, but I hear y'all through the built-in speakers of the old laptop, even though it says I'm using the Logitech headset for both.
I love it. It's time for some updates. Updates to be applied. Alrighty. Moving on.
Yeah, y'all just keep going.
I love it.
I need to just get on my... Next, I'll be getting on my iPad to do the show.
Well, you know, listen, we have Dirt as an example for how far we have to go to keep it going, you know, to keep the show rolling, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hey, if you're not willing to do it on a cell phone in a parked car, then yeah. I don't know.
I'm scared to close out the other Click Nation that's up on the screen, because I assume the show would keep recording. I've lost connection before, and then the show, and like gone back on, and y'all have still been on there doing stuff. So
yeah,
we'll see.
But roll the dice. I mean, y'all can still hear me now. I don't know why, but continue.
Well, it keeps the logo up there, so that's handy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Alrighty. Let's see. Roddy, you're gonna have to help me out here. A lot of this stuff is foreign to me.
Sure. Where you wanna go next?
Let's pick the fun ones.
Right. Where are y'all at?
We've gone to comic news now.
It keeps muting myself.
We're in comic news. my goodness. All right.
Real quick. Heavy Metal CEOs talk comic plans, potential movie plan franchise. So Heavy Metal was a comic book. I don't, my familiarity is only but so far. But there was a book called Heavy Metal. There was a couple of movies, Heavy Metal, and they're trying to bring it back.
Okay.
I mean, the magazine is still being published.
Right.
Right. Because I think the people that took over, who I guess, what, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles owned it?
Yeah, Kevin Eastman bought it several years ago, and he kept it going. I mean, he just had turtle money, so he said, hey, I'm going to buy this and keep it going. Sure. And I don't know, he ran it for, I don't know, 15 years or something? I mean, he ran it for a long time. But then a couple other guys came and made him an offer, and they bought it from him. And so now they're trying to revitalize it themselves with ideas that they have. So see what happens.
And apparently one of which is an animated Rat Queens show.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they can cultivate creator-owned material, you know, from other artists and bring it in and figure out a way to, you know, bring it to market themselves as more of a spotlighting and distribution company than trying to make their own original IPs, so... You know, I mean, you use the tools you got. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, and Hoax Hunters is moving from Image to Heavy Metal Publishing.
Oh, okay.
Swerve.
I'll come back to that one. Let's see. Miss Marvel, Silver Surfer, and more face their last days. They're basically saying, hey, they're covers for Miss Marvel, Punisher, Silver Surfer, and anybody else? Black Widow.
Bunch of Secret Wars announcements. Yeah,
going into Secret Wars. So
I guess they're going through all of them. Any
any of them actually look interesting to fellow panelists here?
Well, the Silver Surfer one kind of, especially considering what's going, what we'll be talking about in New Avengers later on, but...
Is it Silver Surfer?
Yeah. I mean, based on its cover anyway. Outside of that, the Ms. Marvel one, I guess.
Cause that's right. He's in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I had a nice poll up on the Click Nation community page that has been going on throughout the week. Then people vote on if they prefer Secret Wars or Convergence.
And how'd that turn out?
Pulling up now. See the results. Luckily, I remembered to do this. So, looks like Secret Wars wins it. We got 8 votes total between both. And Secret Wars won 63% to 38%.
Over Convergence!
I accidentally voted myself.
Say one of those were mine.
Trying to see who the vote, the breakdown, how many got what.
We'll do the math. If you know the number of votes, get your calculator. And
okay, not counting myself, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 for Secret Wars and 3 for Convergent.
Oh, it was a lot closer than it sounds.
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, well, Secret Wars, we kind of have an idea what that's going to be. I mean, and that's aside from all the you know, everything they've talked about it so far. But Convergence is kind of, for me, is kind of a curiosity because of, well, one, not that versed in DC events outside of reading them, like, well past their date, you know, or reading about them, but just kind of see what they were going for.
I can tell you that this week, what you're thinking about New Avengers leading into Secret Wars is exactly what Futures End is doing for Convergence Week. I mean, they are basically the yin and yang of the exact same thing happening in the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of not so much of a surprise nowadays.
But going back to these last days books, taking a closer look, there is one that is catching my eye, and that is the Last Days of the Punisher. Looks like Nathan Edmondson is going to be doing Black Widow and Punisher as part of Last Days. Since he's writing the series, you know, individually himself, he's doing both of those for... And the way it's written here, I'm not sure if these are two different series or if these are... If Black Widow is going to be in the Punisher's book. It's not exactly clear how this is written, but...
It sounded to me like it's Black Widow and Punisher and Punisher.
Right.
Yeah, so if that's what it is, I mean, the two characters in the one book, I'm perfectly fine with that, considering he writes both of them, and he writes them both fantastic, so I'll be down with it.
Yep.
That may be the one Secret Wars tie-in I actually read.
The only ones that off the top of my head that look interesting, I mean, all the Last Days books, I'll keep reading those just because I was reading the regular book anyway, like Captain America and the Mighty Avengers, Loki, Magneto, Ms. Marvel, Black Widow. I was all reading those anyway. Other Secret Wars books, the Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, I'll probably read. Just like I said, I've been reading Legendary Star-Lord. And I think that's the only one off the top of my head I can remember that's been announced like within the last 7 days.
Which one? The Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because the Marvel Zombies and Ultron I don't care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Agent 70?
I really haven't had a chance to look at these very carefully, but I would echo what Dirt is saying about the Punisher and Black Widow books being written by Edmondson, because he's got such a great handle on them.
Yeah. All right. Oh, somebody created an Ant-Man helmet, and it looks like the one so close to the one they're going to use in the movie. So
there's some cosplay there.
Yep. Yeah, well, let's see. Yeah, we kind of alluded to that. Dark Horse and Dynamite join forces against again for another Red Sonja and Conan team up. Don't go forth on that one. Marvel Ghost Racers rev up for Secret Wars Battle Arena.
Okay, forget about that one. I will be reading that.
I'll probably read that.
I will not be reading that.
And the Thors, I'll read. Forget about that one.
Oh yeah, well let's go ahead and skip to that one then. Yeah, there's going to be a Thor book, a Thor core book.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's not, I don't think that's what it's called, but hey, why not? I'm waiting for the Hawkeyes.
Like, maybe they should do a book called The Thor Corps.
There's enough of them, might as well, you know. I'm waiting for the Hawkeyes one and the Captain America's one, because there's bound to be another one of those. Let's see. Shaft, Ms. Marvel, and The Shadow, amongst finalists for Dwayne McDuffie Award, which I don't know if that actually happened or not, but, oh, no, let's see. So every year at Long Beach, there is an award in Dwayne McDuffie's name for diversity, and the winners will be announced on February 28th. Let's see, the five nominees are Hex 11, MFK, Ms. Marvel, The Shadow Hero, not The Shadow, Shadow, and Shaft by Yep. So come the 28th, we'll find out who won that. And I guess let's go on to, speaking of Dwayne McDuffie, his birthday was on the 21st, and Twitter tried to get his name trending on the 21st and the 22nd, the 20th and 21st, since he died on the 21st also. And you should be able to probably can still see the hashtag with his name for that. And going along with that also, for Black Comics Month, how about read Beyond, which was Dwayne McDuffie's book that he did in 2006, which is relevant to what we're going on now. Hey, guess what? They stole some people. There's a battle world. They're trying to keep from killing each other. It's on Marvel U if you have that, and keep on going with it.
I did find the next story interesting.
Which that, one?
Dark Horse is shifting some of the books to digital first. Basically, they have some books that have not been performing very well that they thought were going to be big hits, and they just haven't found the audience they were hoping for. Ghost Fleet, Resurrectionists, and Sundowners. And so normally what you would have done in the past is just cancel because they're just not selling the way they thought they were going to sell, and there's just not a place for them in the market, so they would normally just cancel them. But what they've decided to do is, since a lot of the work has already been done on future issues, they're going to go ahead and keep doing them as digital first. So you can buy the digital issues from the Dark Horse store, since they run their own digital comics platform. You can buy them from the digital store, keep reading the series, and then what they'll do is release the collections, the trade paperbacks, in print and actually send those to stores. So Diamond, Barnes & Noble, those types of places will be able to still get the trades like they normally would, but as far as the monthly issues go, they will be digital only. That at least keeps them alive, keeps them going, and doesn't just, cancel them and throw them away.
I'm trying to remember what Sundowners is about. It's like I remember hearing buzz about that when it was announced. I have to Google.
It's about vampires. I know that, but...
Never mind then. Resurrectionist did look interesting. I tried reading the first issue. It just wasn't in my wheelhouse, though.
Right.
I like Fred Van Lente.
Good. All right. Let's see. Marvel's got another mobile game. It's a four-player brawler called Mighty Marvel Heroes. Catch it. San Diego Comic-Con badges came and went in about an hour. I'm almost pretty sure none of us tried to go for that, but I did get the thing that says, hey, you got this number, go sit in line whenever that comes up, but I knew I wasn't going, so. It's what it sounds, I mean, hey, but it sounds like, because usually how it goes with that is like, you stay up for about 10, 11 o'clock, it opens up, it's gone like 2 minutes, so they must have changed, they've been trying to change things for the last couple of years, trying to make it better for people to get in, so.
I were having this discussion last week about, trying to cope with the, with this insane demand for big Comic-Con tickets, so I was actually surprised to hear that it took them an hour to sell out. They must have tried to pace things a little bit. So
yeah, I think that number system probably with that, because I think you basically sound like you got like a reservation and when it's called or something. I'm not sure how it went because I didn't stay up to deal with it. But I know I remember seeing the email about the reservation number or whatever it was.
Gotcha.
So good. Keep on working toward that.
Cool.
Speaking of conventions, last week I saw some random listing for Wizard World running something called FanFest Chicago. And I was like, well, what the heck is that? It's March 7th and 8th. And I was like, well, that's weird. So I sent the guy an email. I was like, can I get press credentials for this? And he goes, well, that closed like 2 weeks ago, but sure, send us your information. So I sent him the information. I got two press passes. So I'll be going to FanFest Chicago, and it's basically a smaller version of Wizard World Chicago that they're doing in the spring, basically before C2E2 hits, just to kind of throw it in their face a little bit. It's more of a celebrity...
autograph-based?
Yeah, more that type of thing, but they are going to have guys there, Neil Adams,
cool.
Greg Horn, Josh Lyman, Michael Golden. There are going to be a lot of artists and writers who are there anyway, set up in kind of a smaller version of Artist Alley, but this is the first time it's actually been done, in Chicago, and this may be the first FanFest. I'm not exactly sure, but I've got press passes, so I'm going to be going at least on Saturday to check it out. So we can talk about that in a couple weeks.
Yay! I was about to say, tell us about that convention you went to.
Yes, so I'm bringing up the article I wrote on theclicknation.com.
Oh, it shows you how in the loop I am this week.
Ching. Yes, it actually got a nice little traction I saw when I looked at the stats.
Yes.
Nice. So I myself and the Adam Black, my brother, and another friend of ours went to the Middle Georgia Comic Convention in Macon, Georgia. I believe this was the second annual, because we went last year also, and I guess apparently they started a Georgia Hall of Fame for comic creators. So this was year two of it. Let's see. One person I was looking forward to seeing was Van Jensen, writer of Green Lantern Corps, but apparently I guess he had got sick and had to cancel. But got there kind of late because I got started kind of late in the morning, so we get to the convention until a little after one. And since it's not that big of a space, didn't really have, you know, did the once over and we were just about done. But I did get to guest on a podcast. I guess it was two brothers, but only one of them was there at the time. And they had, like, their table set up, and they had their MacBook and fancy speaker, not speakers, but a microphone set up and whatnot. So, of course, I was curious.
You mean like Roddy Cat?
Yeah. Like, all the other, you know, professional podcasters out there, myself. So it's the Turtles Do It is the name of their, at least their Twitter account is Turtles Do It, I believe. Make sure I get that right. And so I sat down with Chris, and we just kind of like talked about the show, and of course I made sure to plug the Click Nation and Comic Chronicles and whatnot. And apparently there's going to be a show actually here in my city in March that they're going to attend also. So since it's local and all I have to do is just drive to downtown Athens, I'll make sure to go.
So why did you pose for a picture with the guy from Turtles Do It and not smile at all?
I don't smile at pictures. That is me smiling.
I don't see a smile. I'm looking right at it.
That's funny.
He's not smiling either.
I got to pull this up because, you know, like I said, been out of the loop this whole week. So now I'm curious.
I signed their banner, Turtles Do It.
That's funny.
That was cool. And then I ran to one of my old high school teachers. He had a table set up selling comics.
Nice.
And actually, I knew he sold comics. I knew he was a comic book fan when I was in school, because once he found out I was, like, the next day at school, he, like, ushered me into his office and, like, passed me some X-Men comics from the Jim Lee, Chris Claremont era that I was missing. So he helped me fill some gaps in my
collection.
My collection.
Come into my office. I've got comics.
Oh, no. Oh, that was creepy.
So shout out to Earl Shaw's Comics.
Nice.
And let's see who all was there. Paul Jenkins, Daniel Way had a writing Wolverine panel, which was kind of fun. Paul Jenkins. It's funny because I couldn't remember. There's so many Pauls in comics, like older writers that are named Paul, that I get them all confused. Hmm. Like Paul Cornell and Paul Jenkins, and I'm sure there's another one I can't remember right now. But this is the Paul Jenkins that wrote the letter saying how he was never going to work for Marvel and DC again, and is signed exclusively with Boom. So he talked at the end of the panel. He talked a little bit about, you know, why he wrote that article, and basically it came down to like at DC there was an editor that was telling a writer not to like email and contact an artist because the editor was telling the writer that the writer was bugging the artist, so please not do that. So then, of course, the writer felt all bad, thinking he was bugging the artist, and like reached out to the artist like through email and was like, you know, hey, I heard you were mad about me contacting you. I'm sorry, didn't mean to, you know, disturb your flow or whatever. And the artist was like, I never said that.
Oh wow.
He was like, the artist was like, I love getting the feedback from you. You know, I like being involved in the process and whatnot. Blah 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 blah. So then the writer, I guess, brought it back up to the editor, and the editor was like, I told you not to contact him. And it basically came down to they were going to fire the artist. So I guess they didn't want the writer contacting them, even though I don't see how the writer would have known that he was going to be fired in the first place. So after that whole thing fell through, I guess that's what led to Paul deciding, you know, enough is enough. So, and they talked about a little bit. They didn't really talk about writing Wolverine too much, really. There was a bunch of, like, other, like, insider stories around the campfire type of things you see at the small conventions.
Did he bring up Fiction Squad?
He did not. Mm. I didn't read Fiction Squad. Well, wait, that was the one with Humberto Ramos, right?
Yes.
Yes, he did mention that. I'm sorry. Yeah, he talked about it briefly. But they were there. Let's see, Laura Martin, the colorist, was there. Artist Wilfredo Torres. Chad Harden, the artist on, what's her name? Harley Quinn. John McCree and writer Joe Pruitt and Phil Hester were all there.
Did you get any swag or like any cool sketches or?
No, I didn't really go up. I did talk to this one guy and I bought a T-shirt from him, which I can go grab later. It's down here on the floor in the bag. But he was a nice guy from North Carolina. He just had some. He was mostly selling like T-shirts with a bunch of different logos on it. Like the bag I see here says like comics rot your brain.
Oh no!
And I think the T-shirt I bought said something like comics. Something like at least comics aren't cocaine or heroin or something like that.
Love it.
So I'll show it off a little later.
And wait, let me correct myself real quick. That was not Humberto Ramos. That was Ramon Box. So my fault.
Wait, he did do something with Humberto Ramos though. The older book that was reprinted last year, I think.
Right. Well, Fiction Squad is what
you're doing. Well, I think that was a Spider-Man book with Ramos that Paul Jenkins wrote.
Yeah, he was also a Boom. They did a Boom's book too, though.
Okay.
And the 2015 class of the Georgia Comic Book Hall of Fame. Last year, I think they said they inducted Joe Pruitt, Brian Stelfreeze?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The painter.
He couldn't make it this year. But let's see, this year's class was Paul Jenkins, Laura Martin, Joseph Michael Lisner, and Jeffrey Jones. So shout outs to them.
Did the weather play any role in like the attendance? Like what was the attendance like?
Attendance was pretty good. I mean, like I said, it's very small second year, so it seemed like it was maybe we could have got there a little earlier last year, seemed like there might have been more people. I bought two trades. I found a 50% off sale on trade paperback, so I bought Umbrella Academy Volume 1, just because I've heard so much about it, and Volume 1 of American Vampire, which after I bought it, I remembered that I bought it on Comixology last year during the
big, it's alright.
Yeah. I was trying to find stuff. Like, there was a bunch of Marvel stuff I kind of wanted. Like, I almost bought Secret Warriors Volume 1, but I was like, I can just read that on Marvel Unlimited, which I have. So I was trying to find, like, Image and indie stuff that, you know, I couldn't just read on the app.
Cool.
But, yeah, that was it. So stay tuned for March when I attend AthCon. And I'm depending on getting, like, part of me is like, should I try to get a table like the Turtles did?
Why not?
Cost money.
So here's what. Well, there's that. Here's what I'm thinking. If we can get the other guys down for Heroes Con, we should do that.
They probably will attend Heroes Con because then like they travel around.
No, I'm talking about these guys. They
don't care about Heroes Con.
Yeah, no.
That'd be like trying to get me to go to Chicago for C2E2.
I know you want to come up to New York at some point.
Yeah, I was gonna say New York. I'm gonna do eventually one year. So. One of these days.
Yeah.
I've had passes to San Diego for like 6 years, and I never go. I just don't like to travel.
Do you still get them now?
Yeah. I mean, all I have to do is reply to the email. I just don't do it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I could go
as your... Pass those alone.
You can send me as your...
I was about to say, I got that vacation time that you used this year. I'll go on behalf of Pop Culture Network. And
like we had passes to Toy Fair, but I ended up giving them to somebody else because I didn't want to go to New York.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Hey! Hey!
I mean,
Now it all comes out.
I mean, if I knew somebody I could trust in New York, I'm like...
It all comes out. That's awful.
Yeah, I may have to try to use those passes for San Diego one year.
I would have absolutely gone to Toy Fair. See, now...
Yeah, I'd have gone to either one if I had to...
I would have absolutely gone to Toya.
No, Doug don't trust you.
Unbelievable. You know what it is? Because he knows the cards I carry don't say the Pop Culture Network on them. I would have had to, like, scramble to put that on there somewhere, you know?
That's right.
Just scramble it on the back, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Kinko's are 24 hours.
I mean, exactly. You know. Well, you know, Kinko's are staples, right?
Right.
So... next time, Dirt, don't hold out, man.
I'll see what I can do.
Anything else in comic news?
We can speed through the rest of the stuff.
I was going to say leave a section to talk about this week's comics television before we get into the books.
Okay.
Oh, you want to talk about the actual shows?
Yeah.
Let's just do that then, unless there's any variants that y'all want to go
through. There, hang on a second, because that was actually one.
Was it the Funko?
No. That was a pretty good art and stuff, but that was the one I was gonna bring up. We'll bring up later, or at a later date. It's about that Funko and Marvel thing that they've announced, which we'll, when that comes up, we'll worry about that.
The Funko box.
Yeah. Hopefully I signed up for it, so I'm gonna get one of those. But basically, all they announced was a variant cover that was gonna be packaged into the box of this next one, or the first one rather.
I considered it, but it's based around pop vinyls, and I'm just so tired of pop vinyls at this point that the fact that you get an exclusive pop vinyl just does nothing for me.
Hmm. Yeah. So, but I will be getting it, so we will see what comes in that box or what they will be doing. There'll probably be like Loot Crate and all those other ones, and you know there'll be articles about it, like 2 or 3 articles about what's in the box way before it even comes out.
Right.
So, but outside of that, there's the Avengers 44 variant.
Is that the Jim Chung one?
I'm not sure who that one. I just get it.
You mean this one?
Dun dun.
Jim Chung's final issue variant.
Yep.
So, but that's about it.
All right. Did you mention that there's a?
Oh wait, I'm sorry. Wait, one more thing. This is probably for somebody. Marvel announced its exclusive agreement with Andrea Sorrentino.
You just talked about what I was going to mention.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's been a while since. No, I was just going to say it's been a while since we've seen news about exclusive agreements. So it's, you know, it's cool that Andrea Sorrentino's gotten one.
Yeah.
I like his art, but some of it's very confusing to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind it in Green Arrow, but like maybe because that was more street level stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now since it's, you know, he can go crazy with all the superhero stuff, it's like, whoa, what's going on? Very Marco Rudy-ish.
Oh no.
I thought it was great in Green Arrow, but I tried picking up All New X-Men this week, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, the All New X-Men and the Uncanny Annuals, like, ugh. And I like it, but it's like I said, it's just a lot.
To process.
Like, yeah, it's like almost overload. Hmm. But I like the Green Arrow stuff.
Cool.
Alrighty.
Then there's Ben Affleck is now Director of Talent Relations for DC. So if he's watching, I apologize for butchering his name real quick, and hey, we might have some talent over here.
Yeah. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Ben_Abernathy.
Yep.
Congrats. He said thanks.
All right.
So now you talk about Arrow and Flash?
And Agent Carter.
Oh, right, whatever.
It's just wrapped up.
Yeah. Skip Flash because it was a rerun or didn't come on at all.
Oh, okay. I thought...
Yeah, I was going to say, anyone watch Arrow? Because I'll talk about Agent Carter.
I did. I hadn't watched anything Arrow this week, so...
Arrow was awesome because, let's see, number one, Laurel might be the most annoying character on TV right now.
Haven't they been saying that for the last couple of seasons, though?
She's like gonna get people hurt on this show.
Oh no!
She's so obsessed with her sister's death, obviously. And Thea revealed to Laurel that she was the one that killed her Sarah, but she was under mind control or whatever.
Spoilers.
Oh, that's right. You haven't watched it.
That's fine. It was bound to happen. I wouldn't. I'm still watching it. So.
So without too many spoilers, I'll just say that. Well, you saw in the commercials that Malcolm Merlyn is taken to Pamba, not whatever.
Nanda Parbat.
Nanda Parbat. This is say there's a raid to rescue him, and surprise ending.
Alrighty, cool. So did anyone else watch Agent Carter this week?
I did.
Not yet.
I missed last week's episode, so...
I won't spoil it, but it was a very well-done episode. I am very proud of the way Marvel Studios has kind of put together this 8-episode show to cover this hiatus period between the first and second halves of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This was a great show. There was a lot, I found myself cheering Peggy on this episode because, it seemed like she really, she was really, coming from an underdog position a lot, just really coming through when it seemed like all the chips were stacked against her. There's a great appearance by a former cast. Well, actually, it's a recurring character on the show, so it's not really a big deal. But it's Howard Stark. There's some threads there that are obviously left for the possibility of renewal for a second eight episode or more season, because they do leave things dangling. And now that I think about it, there is a guest appearance at the very end, as Marvel is wont to do, in kind of a stinger slash, pre-credits scene, where a character from the Captain America movies makes a reappearance.
I already spoiled myself on that.
Oh, you spoiled yourself. Yeah, like I said, You see how well I crafted that particular, description of the what happened? I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, that particular character made a reappearance, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Agent Carter. I'm very pleased with the show. I recommend, I would recommend it to anyone who's familiar in passing with the Captain America story. And there's definitely a character arc for Peggy Carter in this, and there's a nice little payoff for one of her sub character arcs during these 8 episodes, and when we get to the last episode, you kind of feel like, oh, okay, we've reached a point, and Peggy really has kind of evolved and developed over the 8 episodes.
Yeah, the weird thing about it is, I don't know. Well, and this is just outside of the show, but people were saying it's too short and blah blah blah. I was like, they never planned to go past 8 episodes. Like, yeah, they could do another season, I'm sure, whatever. But I was like, they never planned to go past 8 episodes. So I'm not sure what people were talking about.
Well, yeah, they didn't. I mean, they plan on doing another. I would wager a guess and say that they plan on continuing this particular formula because it works. They have just enough material so that it doesn't get drawn out. And they put it in there, and they drop just enough Easter eggs to get people really excited. And, they cover the space between fall and spring. It works out. And I think it's a great idea to do this. And I think that eventually I was listening to Word Balloon, the podcast that John Suntress does. And he was talking to Mark Guggenheim and Greg Weissman today, this week's episode. And they were talking about this is, a format called the wheel that I guess keeps the wheel turning by not having this mid-season hiatus where they have something to fill in that gap. And I think that's pretty, I think that might be, this might be a model for a lot of other shows and a lot of other production companies now that they've seen the success that Marvel's had with Agent Carter.
Well, and also if you think about it, TV shows, especially genre shows, they're on network television, they're on cable television, they're on Netflix originals, they're coming to the PlayStation Network. They're coming from every corner, and so if you stop for 6 months and give people a break where you don't have anything fresh and new, there's something fresh and new coming from some other outlet, and you're just going to miss out on it.
Right.
And we lost Tim.
Oh, no.
I'm here.
Where?
Oh, no. That's funny.
All right, so anyway.
All right, so are we up to review section?
I guess so.
Yes.
All righty. Oh, I hear Tim is in the ether somewhere.
What?
There he goes.
I'm here. Let me do my read for the scripts.
I always got an ad.
There we go.
And I will do Amazon today. Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon.com. Visit coldslitterpodcast.com, then click Keep the Podcast Free link at the top of the page. There, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon.com as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the Cults of the Podcast Network a payment that helps us keep the Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon.com through cultsofthepodcast.com. Do it today.
Yes.
Thank you. Now we can
We can watch, huh?
I said now we can review. You hear me.
Alright, well, all I wanted to say is this week I was unable to read very many books, but there's so many books that came out this week. It's disgusting how many books came out this week.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's disgusting how many came out last week.
I don't know. This week is monumental, and if you guys will excuse me for a second, I will grab what I bought at the shop this week, because I'm not able to go on my regular day, which is Friday. I'm going to grab what I bought, and you guys can start with the book to review, and you will see exactly how many books I had to get this week.
Anyway, let me. I want to mention something real quick. Go ahead, grab your books. While you're grabbing your books, I want to talk about this real quick. Black Hood number one for Dark Circle Comics, new imprint for Archie, bringing back their old characters. The book, I'm not going to talk about the book. I mean, the book was mediocre, but this was supposed to be a die-cut cover, and they announced months ago it would be a die-cut cover, and you can see that you've got the black hood and you've got the face underneath, so everybody knew that the eyes would be, you know, cut out, and you would have this face underneath looking up at you. Well, as it turns out, I don't know if doing a die cut was just too difficult or somebody forgot to do it, but this was listed as a die cut cover, and you open the box and none of them are cut. This is the full cover artwork, and when you flip open the cover, the painting underneath of the guy's face is there, lined up perfectly. So I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the line, someone just didn't cut out the eyes.
What
so
does die cut mean?
Die cut means it should be cut out. Like there should be, like they took a metal stamp that's called a die, and they cut out part of the cover. So if you think like there was a Wolverine book.
Yeah, Wolverine number 50. Like, it was a yellow gold cover back in the day.
Right, it had the rips on it. And so they did a die cut cover where it cut out where the rips were. You could see through to the inside. That's what this was supposed to be. They just apparently forgot to cut it.
Whoops.
Yeah. All right, so show us your stack.
Let me get through New Avengers right quick.
Look at the stack. Look at this.
Oh.
Look at this big, nasty stack of comics I have to go through. Thankfully, we have our academic copies, but, you know, this is my physical pull list plus a couple extra books this week.
Because you got a variant on the Thor annual there.
Oh, is this a variant? Oh, yes, it is. Look at that.
Is that the Rob Gilroy cover?
Looks like it.
Yes, it is.
See, you got me wanting to go get physical copies of comics again.
Physical copies. You look, Gotham Academy. I picked up, I don't pull this, but I picked up Wonder Woman, Superior Iron Man this week, Uncanny Avengers I didn't have a chance to read, George Perez's Sirens I picked up. I didn't even have a chance to read Spider-Gwen, but here's my physical copy.
Keep going through them. I'll see what else you get.
Inhuman, New Avengers that I know you just wanted to talk about, S.H.I.E.L.D., Darth Vader, FF, Fantastic Four, Amazing Spider-Man. Look at this. This is crazy. Amazing X-Men, which I'm just dying to drop. Batman 39.
I can say very Marvel heavy there.
Of course. Daredevil. It's me, of course. It's Agent 70. Yes. Oh, here's something that's not Marvel or DC. I picked this up because, you know, because of what my my secret, you know, my classified identity is. Dirt will appreciate what I just picked up. This is... from IDW. I could not walk out of the store without this.
I planned to try to read that before the show, and of course didn't.
I had that in my queue, I just couldn't get to it. All New Invaders.
They spent a good $50+ today.
Yeah, really.
This is like 80 something bucks. All New X-Men.
That's all. It was crazy. It's like, oh, that's all, everything that came out this week.
Yes. And I picked up a Vertigo book, which I almost never do. I know that this is Lieber Mayo's passion project, Suicider.
I just realized, I just got alerted that that's the new writer on We Are Robin.
So, yeah, and whatchamacallit?
Okay, so you did not pick up Spider-Man and the X-Men, Men of Wrath.
Wait, Spider-Man and the X-Men. I did. You missed it.
Oh, okay. Well, then you didn't pick up Men of Wrath, Secret Avengers, Deadpool, Captain America, Fear Him, Spider-Man 2099, or Wolverines?
Nope.
See, you didn't get the complete run of Marvel.
That's the only ones he's missing.
I don't want those.
Oh, man.
But so it was a huge week. It's unreal.
Buy physical or not buy physical.
You know what? At one point, I was going to split the difference because I was like, okay, these are the ones I know I'm going to get to. I want to get to, and then these are the ones I want to keep. And you know, there's that whole mindset you go through when you do stuff like that. And now, since I don't have a physical, I don't have a store close enough to do that. It just kind of went all digital.
Well, listen. This is the same agent who is always complaining about, you know, wanting to get rid of like whole runs of like X Factor and X Force because I don't have use for these comics in my collection anymore. But I'm still accumulating books at a decent clip. So you know, it's a difficult balance.
Yeah,
so I just can't be seeing you on Hoarders in a few, right?
No, not like that. But you know, it's not, you know, like my personal comic collection. I'm going to declassify some information. My personal comic collection is not completely cataloged, but I'm at the 6,000 mark. Mm. I'm not quite finished cataloging. I still have a couple boxes to go.
All right, my quick review of New Avengers 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
I like your note on it.
I said
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I kind of understood what was going on, but not really.
Mm.
Hank Pym, that was a lot of reading.
Hank Pym, Yellow Jacket, explained what he's been up to the last however many days. He said like 100 and something. I don't know if that was like
space
time or our time. But,
well, remember, we jumped ahead a couple months ago.
Yeah, right? I just remembered that. So maybe that is actual time. But nothing really happened in this issue except to confuse people.
Well, no, it explains a lot. It sets up the, you know,
right.
Kind of the
it's about to get bad.
Yeah, I was about to say, but it does set up kind of the retro feel of, and maybe it does a minor retcon of what the original Secret Wars was really about and what was happening there.
I just enjoyed the fact really. That it took
the, no, just a minor retcon.
It took the silly premise of this old crossover and said, okay, how can we make this
more dramatic?
More of something you can care about.
Yeah.
You know, than just being this crazy old crossover about this guy in a white disco suit who makes everybody fight. You know,
well, he wasn't originally in a white disco suit. He was just from beyond.
You know? And realistically, what if I'm thinking the same thing as you are, that retcon was not really retcon because he actually did kind of come off that way. I mean, if you're going back and think about Secret Wars, or specifically it's 2, but Secret Wars in general.
Right. Well, I ignore 2. But, but I remember 1 very fondly, and the retcon that I'm going to reference, I'm going to ring the spoiler bell, is the fact that they basically state that the original Secret War was a childlike Beyonder's doing.
But he was.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, he was.
I understand that, but I guess maybe it was just the way it was written. I was just like, oh, okay, I guess that sort of explains it. But, you know, like right. I said, a little bit of a retcon.
Yeah, because I thought about that at first. I'm like, wait, that doesn't make it. Oh, wait, okay. And especially with setting up the rest of the stuff that they're going for. I'm like, okay, it makes sense in that respect. And right. If you, like I said, if you think back to 2 and I guess in some respects 1, but not so much, that's kind of the way it was.
Right. You know. And you know what's funny? Spoiler bell ring again. So some of the cosmic entities characters that get whacked in this book.
Yes.
It was like a who of a handbook, official handbook of Marvel Universe, like roster of cosmic entities that were just getting whacked left and right.
Right, like yeah, this is just wholesale getting rid of folks. And you're like, okay, these people don't matter anymore. So
it's like, yeah, they're going down. They're going down at the powers of these Beyonders. They're going down. It's like, wow.
But you can definitely, reading this book, you can definitely get the feeling of where they're going with Secret Wars. Like, you know what Secret Wars is, and you can see all of that taking shape here, and taking all these elements that you know to be Secret Wars with the Beyonders and with the different realities and all of this stuff is all clashing together, and you know exactly where you're headed.
Mm-hmm.
So, agreed. After Secret Wars, no Professor X, so just get used to that right now. Which sounds like it has nothing to do with nothing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
No one needs to explain it to me then. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think what's funny about that is I think because we have a reference point of the previous iterations of Secret Wars, not counting the Bendis, you know, Secret War, I guess we have more of a context for all this and relating it back than Tim would. So. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, another funny thing was like, hey, the Captain Britain Corps, spoiler, something happens to them, which is not surprising because something happens to them like almost every other time you see Captain Britain shows up. So.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was nice to see some of those characters come back. I was like, ooh, Saturnin.
Yeah.
Who?
Comic books are not heroin.
I meant so, not heroin. Saturnin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Woo. Nice. That's pretty awesome.
Just to kind of stay on this theme, though, that this issue of New Avengers, you sit through, you read it, you can see exactly where everything is going with Secret Wars. That's exactly the same thing as what's going on in Future's End.
Really?
Future's End 43, they're sitting down and they're explaining a lot of the stuff that's going on. You can see, Brainiac is not just a guy who bottles cities and miniaturizes them to keep them on his ship. He's actually pulling different versions from different realities, different parts of the multiverse together as part of his collection. And, so, you know, they talk about the war with Earth 2. They talk about some of these other realities, different possible futures and these different places that have, you know, been stolen the way Brainiac is trying to steal these different places to bring them into his collection. If you read anything on Convergence, it's the same way with Secret Wars. You know exactly where it's going. Future's End is taking you exactly down that road to Convergence where you're going to see all this stuff jumbled together. It's really surprising to see how similar Marvel and DC are doing these things with these, you know, multiverses, smashing them together and making them all, you know, square off against each other, basically. And this week, both those two books side by side, just if you want to know what's going on in Convergence, then read this week's Future's End. If you want to know what's going to be happening in Secret Wars, you read this week's New Avengers. It's just incredible how close these two are keeping together.
I'm going to have to flip through that one later. Because at some point, I guess, we all sort of need to get caught up on what's happening with Future's End. So is this a good issue to read to just figure out where it's all going?
I mean, you're probably going to have to do a little bit of Wikipedia with it if you haven't been reading the series, what I mean? But, this is laying a lot of that stuff out for you.
Okay, good.
All right, what's next?
So it looks like a lot of people read... What's that?
Oh, about go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was going to jump to something I think everyone read. Roddy, did you read Batman 39?
No.
Oh, no. Because I saw it on and, Dirt's list, right?
Yeah.
So what'd you guys think of this?
I don't know.
I thought part of it was kind of lame. You know? Like the whole, you know, I'm going to ring the spoiler bell just a little bit, but I won't spoil too much. Like the all hands on deck, let's protect Gotham bit.
Well, it is the idea of, you know, my enemy's enemy is my friend.
Right.
That Joker has pretty much taken over the whole city, very much like the Tim Burton Batman.
I'm glad you noticed that.
He's doing that big parade.
Yes.
Down in Gotham.
You heard the music in the background, right?
Yes, I did.
You heard Prince in the background.
And where is the Batman?
That's right.
Exactly what I was waiting for. But, I mean, seriously, that's what's happening. Maybe because we're on the road to Convergence. Who knows? Maybe movie Batman's going to make an appearance.
Who do you trust?
But there was one thing. Hit the spoiler bell. This is spoiler bell. Anyone doesn't know.
Now you want to do spoiler.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do a spoiler on this. Joker confronts Alfred.
Oh, yeah.
And chops his hand off.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's got a big meat cleaver as Alfred's standing there with a shotgun trying to protect Wayne Manor, and Joker just lops it right off. Which I'm assuming after Convergence, when the multiverse is smooshed back together, Alfred will be fine because it'll be Alfred from a different reality. I don't think we're going to have a cyborg-handed Alfred running around crushing cars with his fist or anything like that. So, but yeah, it was just kind of. I don't know, the story to me just seemed like it was all over the place, like it kept jumping around. It almost felt to me like having Convergence coming as kind of like the stopping point, mm-hmm. like Snyder knows he's got to get the story done, he's got one more issue after this, and then right. he's out of time. So it just kind of felt like there was a bunch of stuff crammed in this because he's trying to get to that end. And if Convergence wasn't coming, we probably would have gotten half this issue stretched out to fill the issue. Mm. But instead, he's just smushing so much stuff together trying to get through it.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that it seemed like maybe it was just the layout. It seemed like there was just more stuff jammed toward the end of the book and the very beginning of the book, which was a confrontation between, spoiler alert, Batman and the Court of Owls. Didn't it seem like that was drawn out just a little bit? Like, you know, there were some kind of flashier panels and more art as opposed to narration or dialogue.
Well, he went into that fight with the original Talon. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I expected there to be more of a background on the Talon. I expect there to be more information about him normally on something like this.
Right.
I feel like the book would open with the original Talon back in 18 whatever, and you'd have half the issue of him and his time with something happening, and then him dying, and then it would wake up to him fighting Bruce, you know, and instead it just kind of skipped all that. And right. That's part of what just made me feel like it was more racing towards the end.
Mm. I got you. Did anyone read the backup story?
No, I didn't.
I haven't read any of the backups.
Okay.
I read a couple of them, but I just kind of got tired of them.
All right. So that's that. That's that. I know Roddy wanted to jump into All New Invaders number 15.
Yes, let's send that book out.
Now, didn't this issue feel like, you know, it's kind of like an old school, like, you know what, we're wrapping it up. We're getting ready to go our separate ways, but we're going to talk about where everyone is now. And it just seemed like it was a real neat bow that Robinson tied on this.
Oh, yeah. It was basically an epilogue to the end of one of those 80s movies, for certain.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you have Steve and Namor and Jim talking about the last couple of issues, you know, and then start going into, you know, where they are, like you said, and I guess looking through into the future, which I don't know. And they also wrapped up a couple of storylines that didn't, well, not wrapped up, but they alluded to a couple of storylines that hasn't weren't going to get any attention because the book is ending. So overall, it was a nice read because of that. I do love the dialogue between the guys as they were talking.
Yeah, the original invaders, yeah.
Yeah, so that was cool. So yeah, I thought it was a pretty good send-off. I would have liked to have seen this. I would have liked to have seen some of those storylines kind of come out and whatever else they were teasing.
Right.
And I'm assuming some of that's going to show up in other places. But this the way they sent this book out was pretty decent.
Isn't it nice? I mean, what I was going to say is, you know what? Not every book gets to wrap like that.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, they gave Robinson and Pugh the opportunity to really write a fitting send-off. My favorite aspect of this book has been, you know, the reestablishment of Jim Hammond in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a much better character for it. And, you know, I'll be looking forward to seeing where he pops up next.
Right. And they also go into Toro's new new-ish powers, I guess, or, you know, what his powers are right now.
Right. And so, we also know that, we also see here that, spoiler alert, that he's probably going to be reappearing soon in a Charles Soule penned book, yes. You know, or something that's based around the Inhumans. So, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, but like I said, you know, it's a rare thing to see a book actually wrap like this with, you know, with like such a nice neat bow, and also kind of leaving, you know, there's definitely threads here that can be picked up in future series or in future storylines or plot lines in other books. So, you know, there's been a lot happening here. You know, I'd like to see I want to see Pugh do something else at Marvel, something a little bit higher profile, because I think he's a pretty talented artist.
Yeah, and it was almost as if either he wrote the book knowing that it could end, and he kind of said, "Well, okay, well, this is going to be how it's going to end, regardless of, you know, how long it runs." True. Or they gave him enough time to where he just, you know,
it's probably a little bit of both, because he probably set it up knowing that, yeah, this book may not have legs beyond two trades, you know. So this is what, like two and like three trades, really, 15 issues.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah.
You know, roughly, you know, like 5-issue trades. So this, you know, this is a nice 3-trade set, and you know, one omnibus, and you know, it's a nice little, you know, it's a nice book that has a kind of a finite end, but not a true finite end.
Right.
you know, it's been you know, it's been a good experience. I think I like this book. I in a collected format, I would probably recommend this to someone who's just looking for something fun and superhero-y. Yeah, you do have to kind of understand where this whole Inhuman stuff is going. You know, like the last four issues really dealt heavily with that. You know, and they left the Martian plotline kind of dangling. You know, we'll see where that gets picked up. But I think it's a great example of superhero storytelling that's done right.
All right. Did anybody actually read Spider-Gwen number one?
No.
Just now, actually.
No, I wanted to get to it very, very badly.
I tried, and I actually gave up.
What?
I just could not do the artwork on this book.
Really?
Yeah. It was just really, and I don't know, the tone of it was just very silly.
That's kind of what I liked about it.
I don't. For me, it wasn't what I was expecting. And
well, I was about to say, my click of the week candidate is on the silly side, but go on.
Well, it's just, I don't know, maybe because that's what the Spider-Verse, you know, maybe it followed that tone or whatever, I don't know. But I just sat down and started reading it. I was expecting something, I guess, with a little more weight to it. And instead, it was just kind of this silly little, like the editor pops in at one point to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're mentioning that the stuff happened in Edge of Spider-Verse, and so there's actually a drawing of the editor, like, popping in from the side, kind of like doing the Mortal Kombat, Toasty!
Wow!
Sitting there, Spider-Verse! Yeah. And,
wow, no kidding!
And, I don't know, just kind of reading through it, like, I'm sure it's great for, you know, 15-year-olds, but, I don't know, just for me...
Or people with 15-year-old mentalities!
Yeah, maybe too.
Well, thanks.
There you go! I resemble that.
If there was someone I could trust in New York,
I regret nothing. Oh, it comes back.
But I eventually just gave up. I'm like, you know what? There's so much stuff that came out. There's so much other stuff I want to read. I'm just not putting my time into it.
Okay. Well, so basically, let's go to a little bit of the story. She's back in her universe. If anybody was thinking she was in 616, but I don't think anybody was.
We're spoiling what we were going to talk about in Amazing Spider-Man 15, but anyway.
Oh, really? I didn't read it, so I don't know.
That's funny. Go on.
I mean, it's not much. You know, she has a villain who's a, you know, if you are versed in Spider-Man villains, this is one of his first. Actually, I think, is it his first?
I think this villain appears in issue 4, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, either way, he's one of the first, so it makes sense. So, and they're in dealing with some of the stuff that comes out in Edge of Spider-Verse 2, which was the intro to Spider-Gwen. And it was. I mean, so well from what I've read so far, it was all right. There was because my only exposure to her has been so far actually Edge of Spider-Verse 2 and her showing up in Spider-Woman.
Okay.
Because I haven't been reading Spider-Verse, so I
was, gotcha. Well, what I really hope is that they're able to develop this character, because bottom line for me is that the character design, the costume design, is what sold the character for me. I was like, that's cool. The color, you know, the palette, the color, the colors in the costume sold it for me. And I really want them to develop this character. I'm looking forward to this book. You know, I will take Dirt's review of it and your review of it and, you know, try to reconcile that with how I feel about it, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to reading this. But like I said, for me, the biggest selling point and the first selling point was this great costume design.
And actually, it's kind of a, if you now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of a what if type situation going on here, because I mean, obviously, you know, you're dealing with somebody from a different universe, but there are some things that come up, you know, within the story that's like, yeah, that all of this would have happened in a one shot, one what if, I guess. So, but there's that, and the art side, as far as I'm kind of used to it, because Robbie Rodriguez was the artist for Federal Bureau of Physics, which I don't think he's on the book anymore because of this. I'm not sure, but either way, this is actually kind of it looks like he's got his process down, one of, because usually, well, not I'm going to say usually, because it's the stuff in FBP. I don't want to say rougher because it wasn't the case, but he's, I guess, kind of cleaned it up or found his, he kind of found his way on this one.
Is there an inker or digital colorist? Because maybe that's what, you know, maybe there's someone who's really kind of polishing up the rough edges.
Actually, I think it's the same dude who's also coloring, who also colored FPP.
Oh, yeah, Rico Renzi, color artist. Yeah, so there's no inkers, right, so they're going straight.
What'd I miss?
Everything.
Are we talking about Spider-Gwen?
Spider-Gwen.
And again, it's not something where, you know, like, I hate this book. How dare they publish it or anything like that, you know. It's just one of those things. It just didn't appeal to me. It's kind of like that Power Rangers fan film. Like,
oh, no!
Just not my thing.
All right, so quick tangent. What was the deal with that? I saw a Facebook post about it. I did not choose to watch it because I was never a Power Rangers person. Please explain why there's
more anyway.
Right, please explain what any kind of hubbub was there was about this and why there's a hubbub and whatnot.
Okay, someone just wanted to make a fan film. They had a lot of money, a lot of time. They got
because they were like actual like TV stars or movie stars, right?
James Van Der Beek from Dawson's Creek, and Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica, and Longmire. Is that the one she's on? And it was very dark. It was graphically violent. There was a lot of swearing. There was drug use. There was...
Really?
Yeah.
It was gritty from what I heard. I didn't see it.
The guy who played the Green Power Ranger, I can't think of his name.
Jason David Frank.
Yes.
Yeah. I only know that because he shows up at con.
Yes, he is at every con. But someone asked him what he thought of it, and he just goes, you know, it's not really my thing. For me, Power Rangers is a thing for kids. It's a kid's property, and I was just kind of disappointed that they decided to take it that way because I thought it would be neat if there was something that cool and big budget that was, you know, for the kids. And, and everybody took that. Everybody took that as, oh my gosh, Tommy said that these were the worst people in the world because they dared make this movie. And it's not at all what he said. You know.
Yeah, you know, Stan.
But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where some people really liked it, some people really hated it. There are not a lot of people in between right now.
Yeah, and the people who hated it are Saban, who are the people who own Power Rangers and had it taken down. So,
well, you know, not there anymore anyway. You know.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm not saying they didn't have, you know, they didn't have a right, but.
So, anyway.
Okay, well, thanks for that. And tangent's over. All right.
Did you have anything on Spider-Gwen, Tim, or?
Oh, he's not there.
Nothing else really to add. Y'all about covered it. It was like Derek said, it was fine. It wasn't like it didn't, you know, set the world on fire, but it made me curious to see more of events in this universe if it survives Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
Yeah. So let's move on.
So did you guys read, speaking of, you know, we'll stick in the Spider-Verse area just for another minute, Amazing Spider-Man number 15. So Roddy didn't read it. Tim, did you read it?
I did not.
Wow. The epilogue to Spider-Verse, the biggest story in Spider-Man, and since...
Like you said, there were so many books out this week.
Yeah. No, I know. Dirt, did you read this?
Not since Superior went away.
Ah, well, what you should do is read this because Superior plays a pretty integral role in...
Yeah, but it's not his book, so...
Sorry. So, as I said, he does play, you know, as the spiders go their separate ways, Otto, you know, tries to do Otto things, and we get a little bit of resolution to that, and you know, we one of the things that I noticed about the way Slott had plotted out a lot of these Spider-Verse books, and I feel like he did this in the amazing, you know, in the main issues of the story, you know, which where the crossover books kind of revolved around the issues of Amazing, the plot and the way it was laid out in Amazing had, you know, one page does, all right, we're going to send these people off to do this, follow them in this book, and that was another pattern that was that reemerged in this issue. So, you know, it's understandable because there are, you know, the spiders that, you know, kind of are going off on their separate ways, similar to what we're dealing with, similar to what we dealt with in All New Invaders number 15. You know, wrapping up that storyline. You know, it seems like we were getting that a little bit too often in the Spider-Verse crossover. I enjoyed, you know, listen, I enjoyed this because, you know, as always, you know, I love it when Otto gets a little bit of a comeuppance. Yes, we know. And, you know, again, kind of a neat and tidy bow, but not the neatest and tidiest of bows on the storylines here. You know, we'll see what comes next. But you know, I was pretty underwhelmed by Spider-Verse as a whole. So I'm kind of glad it's over. I'm kind of glad to see Spider-Man go back to, you know, regular storylines right up until Secret Wars, of course. But, you know, kind of glad Spider-Verse is over, in my opinion. You know, that's my opinion.
Y'all can still hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay. Back on the other laptop now.
I love it. Listen, I've had similar problems before, so I can sympathize.
I think the, like I said, the sound, the MacBook was working, but the sound for some reason wasn't going through my headset. It was going through the speakers, and I think the doorbell ringing was upsetting my dog.
Oh no, sorry. We were going very spoiler heavy on, you know, yeah, a couple of books there.
I took him outside just to, I didn't know if he needed to go potty or what. He was, like, starting to shake and stuff.
He's like, the dog is like, stop spoiling stuff, damn it, I'm going to read it.
And now he won't go back to his bed.
That's
right. He kept looking around weird, like, where are all these voices coming from? Why is the doorbell ringing? But anyway.
Dirt, tell me about Gotham Academy number 5 without spoiling too much.
Oh, impossible. Okay, simple request, huh?
Yeah.
Without spoiling, okay, well, at the end of the last issue, so this isn't a spoiler.
Yes, because I read
this
that
issue. The end of the last issue, we found out that Killer Croc had been hiding in the walls of Gotham Academy. So
Killer Croc.
The eyes that you saw peeking out every so often, the sounds of things creaking in the background and chains rattling and people thought were ghosts haunting the academy. It turns out it was Killer Croc. He had escaped from Arkham and was hiding out in the academy. We find out in this issue why. We find out why he's there, what drew him there, what his connection is to Gotham Academy. I won't spoil any of that.
Yay!
Yeah.
You can find out when you read it. But it is, this issue is the issue that, for the longest time, this has been set in the Batman universe, but not connected really to it. This was kind of like a tangent to it. This is the issue where it is now firmly a Bat Family book. Okay. It's more than just the name Gotham. It sets up some good stuff for the next issue.
Cool.
So just you're positive in time for it to go away.
So you're on board with Gotham Academy.
Yeah, I was about to say you have a positive take on it.
Oh, I've liked Gotham Academy.
All right.
It's Batgirl you don't like, right?
It's what?
Batgirl is the one you don't like.
Oh right? Yeah, that's toilet.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's actually gotten good. I kind of was feeling the same way at first, but they've sucked me in.
Did anyone in this rich issue get hit with a rock?
No, but it's mentioned.
Oh.
And that's exactly why it's mentioned, is because Killer Croc is in here.
Does he always hit people with rocks or something?
It's a throwback to the animated series.
Yeah, yes. One of the landmark issues of the animated series was Killer Croc, and he's telling his great story. Like, everybody, all the villains are sitting around telling their heist stories. Like, the one time they almost beat Batman, they turned to Killer Croc, and he goes, I hit him on the head with the rock.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really big rock.
It was a big rock, yeah. I love that one. I love that episode so much for that reason.
So that is referenced in here. So.
That's nice. Awesome. That is true fans. Awesome.
Well, I'm excited to read it now.
I might have to read this one too.
Well, and also remember that the artwork on this book is just incredible.
Yes.
Like, there really is nothing else like it on the stands. There's no Marvel book. There's nothing. I've not seen anything that even it comes close to what is going on with this book.
Agreed.
I concur. And I feel a lot of it has, you know, the writing is good, all good, but the art, like if Carl Kreschel wasn't doing it, the art, I'm not sure if he's doing the colors with it also. But it's like,
oh, there's a team of colorists that are doing the digital.
Yeah. But
it's like if him and the colorists ever left, I don't know if it'd be the same for me.
No. No way. I don't know if I would read this if it wasn't.
If they were to leave, you would almost have to go in a completely different art style, like in a total, you know, 180 of something that stands out just as well, but is completely different. Because I think if someone were to come in and try to ape the style, and they just wanted someone who was kind of similar, you know, like Daniel Lacuna is now doing Gotham Academy.
Oh, that would be awful.
No, that is not going to work.
That would be awful.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks for that, Dirt. I'm very much looking forward to reading that.
Watch out for rocks.
Really big rocks.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well, since Acuna got brought up, which probably has nothing to do with what I'm about to bring up, actually. Uncanny Avengers number 2?
Did anyone else get to read this? I did not get through.
You're really not missing much.
Really? Because I remember being very underwhelmed by
Well, I take that back. That's a lie. That is a lie. That's a total lie. I forgot. Because I just remember what happened. Action-wise, nothing really happens, but we start to find out about the true origin of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Or at least the true origin so far. At this point in time.
Yeah, in a way, it kind of almost sticks with what has been. It doesn't go too far out of the way of what's been established or what's seeming to be canon, let's say.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they're still on counter Earth. High Evolutionary is, you know, acting crazy as he does. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver wake up because they got captured, and there's some other people trying to do some things. Like I said, we get to find out that part. That's probably the biggest thing ever. We really don't see too many other people. Too many other Avengers in the book outside of. Sabretooth is kind of the main in this issue up until you get the reveal.
No kidding.
Yeah, or at least up to a point.
All right. So, is this better or worse or comparable to the first issue? Does it improve on the first issue at all?
The first issue had a little more action and more of the team.
Hmm.
So
yeah, I've grown kind of weary of this book. And if Amazing X-Men is on the chopping block, Uncanny Avengers is really not that far behind.
Yeah, so
for me at least.
Yeah, this one I might. I want to see. Well, I guess.
Chopping block like, for physical pull. You know what I mean?
Right. But yeah, I mean, even just dropping wholeheartedly, I'm thinking about it. We'll see how the next issue goes up because realistically. The draw was to see this happen, you know, the reveal, and it came in like a whimper. It was something you could just say, okay, sure. Why not? If you know the history between them two, you was like, okay, sure, why not? I mean, because it makes sense.
At least kind of plausible, right?
Yeah. Well, not only plausible, but like I said, it still plays into what has already been established.
What's happened, right?
It just takes out, you know.
And plus, I don't like the High Evolutionary, so.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of this issue yet either, but just overall.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he wasn't one of the ones that got taken out and, you know, with, like, the other people that are getting taken out.
No, that's funny. He's not cosmic enough to be taken
out. But, I mean, they took out, like I said, you know, Professor X, and there's a couple of people that have been kind of sweeping out of the universe. So, yeah, like I said, not much to it outside of the reveal, and High Evolutionary is crazy. You can do what you will with that.
All right.
So, cool. Well, hey, while I'm here, let me get to Amazing X-Men, because there's not really much to say about that one. long-time X-Men fans, hey, guess what? Juggernaut's back. But guess what? It's another X-Men villain that hasn't been seen in eons upon eons. And I should just go ahead and spoil it, because nobody's reading this.
Not Black Tom Cassidy?
No, not this time. Maybe next time. We see Kane Marco comes back, although he doesn't come back for the reason that apparently people thought he did, or at least that's what got brought out in this one, and Colossus shows up. There's still a big fight within everybody that was there previously. But, you know what? Spoiler. Hold on. At the end of the issue, somebody grabs a gem, and it is the Living Monolith.
What?
Yes.
What?
So dig back for that.
Living Monolith?
I don't even know who that is.
That's like beginning original X-Men,
right?
What's that?
Oh no, that's right. He did show up before that. I was thinking.
Living Monolith is like an old character from like the original run of X-Men before, like pre giant size X-Men.
Right.
You know, he's an old X-Men character. I thought he turn into like a planet or something.
No.
Totally not kidding. You know, I'm not looking at Wikipedia or anything. I distinctly remember him like kind of absorbing so much energy he turned into a planet.
Sure.
Okay. That is crazy. The Living Monolith? Okay, yeah, seriously, chopping block.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Alright, hey, I saw you read Shield number 3. This is a fun book.
Yes.
This is a very, very fun book. It involves, you know, kind of the superhero team up of the week with the S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents. And, you know, this was a lot. I had a lot of fun reading this. And it's really nice to see, you know, contrary to our co-host's feelings about Otto and Superior Spider-Man, it's really fun to see, you know, Pete back in the webs and really just being a great guest star as a Spider-Man.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and this was just a fun read.
Yeah. and it involves Doctor Strange's house, which, you know, we don't get enough of that.
We haven't gotten enough of that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know who that other dude was that they were with, so I don't know if he was anyone of note. So basically, to run it down, it was Coulson, Spider-Man, and some other guy that they thought apparently who is a ne'er-do-well that they were trying to get a sentence knocked on, helping him on a case, helping him on
a magical mission. Case.
Yes, involving a home invasion. Well, Doctor Strange's house got broken into for some reason. And S.H.I.E.L.D. went in to
help
to try to clean up.
Right.
They did. Which was kind of funny, especially the Spider-Man part was like, wait, you mean to tell me this is the only reason why I'm here?
Yeah. It was pretty good. I really liked it. I thought Wade did a great job of telling a good, engaging story.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so,
is this going to be the way, or this is just the beginning arc and they're going to go into some kind of arc? Well, actually, I took it back because there was the part of it that seemed like it's going to get taken up at some point later on.
Yes, there is. Yeah, I was about to say there is a thread that is running through these issues so far, and I think they're going to pick up on that and develop that more. Speaking of Spider-Man, kind of, you know, literally, you know, as a character being bounced off of other characters and sort of enhancing them as characters, I'm going to talk about Spider-Man and the X-Men number 3. And this is a very strong candidate for my click of the week this week because it was such a fun read. I am so genuinely surprised that I'm enjoying this book as much as I am, considering, you know, how wacky the premise is. And just from the title itself, it's wacky. But I'm enjoying this so very much. And it's so great to see, you know, it's just a fun read to see Spidey kind of riff and go and kind of bounce off of, you know, characters such as, you know, mild spoiler, you know, such as Mojo. And you'd be happy to see the reappearance of some, you know, speaking of the High Evolutionary, if you guys remember the Evolutionary War annuals, Tim wouldn't remember this, but the annual, the series of annuals.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, one of the guest stars from one of those High Evolutionary annuals, you know, like they used to have backup stories, and there's a certain group of X characters that make a reappearance in this. When I say Mojo is involved, you might get have an idea who I'm talking about. This is just a fun issue. If you need to just have a laugh, have some, you know, if you need a smile put on your face, read this book. I highly recommend it, and it's a genuine candidate for Click of the Week for me.
Wait, if it's the ones that I'm thinking of, because I hadn't read this, then I think they may have just shown up in Nightcrawler.
Possibly, especially if Claremont's writing it.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Huh, okay.
We on the clicks of the week?
I mean, we do rapid fire.
Rapid fire it.
Let me talk about Star Trek real quick.
Star Trek?
I was lamenting when the last issue came out that they just did this great crossover with all the Deep Space Nine and going into the future, and you had Q, and you had an appearance by Picard from Next Generation, and then they followed it up with this story of just this big ship trying to eat their ship, and I don't know, it just didn't feel like it had the same weight to it. It didn't have the same pull. But what this issue does is, you can see on the cover, they're talking about the 5-year mission. Mm-hmm. This is just part of that kind of ongoing series. It's what the TV series did on the original. You know, you're getting the story of the week. But this issue wraps up what happened in the last issue, but then immediately sets up for what's happening in the next issue. So what they're starting to do now is give you the arcs. They're doing this as one big, ongoing, unfolding story, but you're getting these two-issue, this one, I think the next one is a two-issue, and then I think there's a 3- or 4-issue arc coming after that. So you're starting to get what is one long, unbroken story, even though you're getting it into these small arcs of what would be like your weekly episode. So I do appreciate, even though this story didn't necessarily do what I feel the previous story did, it is still nice to see how they are setting it up as this one long ongoing epic, where even though we've wrapped up in this issue this two-part story, it ends on the cliffhanger to begin the next story. And I do appreciate that. So okay. I am looking forward to what's happening in the next one, even though I didn't particularly care for this story all that
much. Gotcha.
Okay.
Hey, did you guys read Darth Vader number 2?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
Um, Well, go ahead, Dirk, because I'm trying to gather something about that book.
Okay, well, Darth Vader is facing off against, you can see the guy here on the cover whose name I cannot think of to save
Tag.
My life right now. Tag.
General Tag, yeah.
Who was on the original Death Star in the first movie.
How'd he get off? No, I'm kidding.
Actually, I think they did explain that.
They mentioned that he left. He didn't like the Death Star. He thought it was a waste of time and money to build Death Star, you know, and to leave this glaring vulnerability of this vent. No, they didn't mention that. But he of course doesn't like Vader. You know, he thinks that the you know Jedi Sith religion thing is all a bunch of hooey, and their time is better spent building warships. And you know, he's kind of an old school general, and so he has set up Vader on a mission where he believes Vader is going to fail, and he sends a lackey along to report back on everything that Vader does, and so. You get a real keen sense of how good a villain Vader is in this one.
Oh,
because
yeah.
A lot of times you think of Vader as just the guy who appears for the final confrontation, you know, the boss battle, but you don't really think about much else of what he's really doing. And this reminds you of how good he is as a pilot, reminds you of how devious and cunning he is, how he is just able to be one move ahead of everybody else. Even though it looks like certain times he's been outmaneuvered, in the end, he's the one who has the final game plan. So I really like the way this portrays his character and the way it really reminds you of how good a villain he actually really is.
Yeah, I was going to mention that about him being devious, but you set it up perfectly because I was like, the beats of this book so far, anyway, has been great on that.
I mean, yeah, we're only two issues in, but still,
exactly.
They're two phenomenal issues.
Mm-hmm. So I am looking forward to what comes next out of it.
Yeah, and so far I like this Darth Vader series better than the regular Star Wars.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. And I love the regular Star Wars series. Right. I just like this Vader a whole lot.
Cool. I'm looking forward to reading this.
Kieran Gillen book to get into.
Yeah, I know, and it's weird because I usually don't like his stuff.
It's the right property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there anything else?
I don't know
if you want to talk about Gotham by Midnight. It looks like that's about. I mean, we're getting down to
actually
rapid fire.
I'll just do Gotham by Midnight quickly. Just to say that this Jim Corrigan is the main character in this book. If the name sounds familiar, it's because it says right here on the cover, on the front cover, it says The Spectre Reborn, and that's exactly what happens. The Spectre returns to the DC Universe, the New 52 version of him, which looks a little goofy, but that's other people can ponder that one. He's wearing like leather suspenders. I don't know. Yeah, but anyway,
like that's better than the pale dude with a green cloak and green underwear.
Oh,
right?
He's still a pale dude with a green cloak in his underwear, but now he's got like these black, like the Gimp. You remember the Gimp from Pulp Fiction?
Oh no!
So anyway, but Gotham. Gotham is evil to its core, and this, it tries to explain why. Like, why is Gotham always just a cesspool? Why is Gotham always a pit? Why is Gotham always just the evilest, darkest, dirtiest place in the world? You know, there are cities in Thailand that are scared of Gotham because Gotham is so evil. And this is explaining it. And why the Spectre is drawn there is exactly for every reason you can think of. He's there to bring judgment on Gotham because Gotham is the evilest place. And you find out why, and you find out why he's drawn there. And so just a bunch of those things coming together in this issue.
So Batman comes in next issue.
Probably, yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is going to set up, because Jim Corrigan shows up on Constantine. I wonder if they're going to put the spec. I doubt it, but I wonder. Well, they've alluded to it, but I don't think they're going to do it wholeheartedly like that, because they've alluded to, you know,
well,
his fate.
We still don't know what happens after Convergence. I mean, everything in the universe is up in the air. You got one more issue of some of these books, and that's it.
Right, like, but I mean, I'm talking about the show, though.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah. unless I say Convergence, which I didn't mean to, but
no, you said Constantine, and there is a Constantine comic, so
yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, but now he shows up on the show, and oh well.
Yeah, it's Ben Temple Smith artwork. So if you're into Ben Temple Smith artwork, you're gonna love it. If you're not big on Ben Temple Smith artwork, it's gonna be hard to read.
Hmm.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Definitely has a style.
Got it.
right.
Cool.
Picks of the week.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off. I've already said what I felt was just the most fun read I had this week. I'm going to go with, surprise, 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 Spider-Man and the X-Men number 3 by, I don't even know, I never really knew the author's name, the writer's name, Elliot Kalan or Callan. The artist's name is Marco Faia. Or Faila, that is the artist. And Ian Herring is doing colors. This was just such a fun read. I really can't comprehend how much fun I'm having. I don't understand why it's so fun to read. I guess, and it's not even a product of having low expectations and being pleasantly surprised. It's not. It's a quality, fun read. And, you know, like I said, if you're just looking for something to smile at and to see a couple of really cool moments, I can't recommend it enough. Even this weekend, you know, when you had to kind of choose between so many books to read, I made a point of picking this one up because I knew, or I at least had the best feeling that it was going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to go Spider-Gwen just because I only read 3 books and it was definitely the best of the 3 I read.
All right, then.
Well, there you go. That's the criteria.
But yeah, I did enjoy it. I forget who the artist is now on it. Who is it? I
know. Robbie Rodriguez.
Thank you. And like I said, I'm interested in this new universe that probably will be killed off in Secret Wars.
Converged in the Secret War. Is that what it's going
to
be?
I have to see which domain that Spider-Gwen gets put in. If it's Spider-Verse or Spider Island or what.
There's a Spider Island one?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
They haven't announced it. They've just had put the name out there. They haven't said anything about what it entails and who the creative team is on it.
Got it.
And can you believe that there's actually going to be a domain for Grant Morrison's X-Men run?
They're going to put all the wacky mutants in there. You know what I mean? That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Darth Vader.
Nice.
I don't know, a Kieran Gillen book, I just hate doing it, but I'm going to have to because this one deserves it.
Funny.
It's good.
Yeah, we couldn't get dirt on New Avengers this week. Sorry, folks.
Oh, it was just such a tough slog trying to.
Yeah, you know, it was what it was.
Oh, I didn't mind. I didn't mind New Avengers at all, really. I mean, I kind of enjoy books like that where they go through and explain everything, even if it is Hickman mumbo jumbo through 3/4 of it. But I'm not even the biggest Star Wars fan in the world. You know, I've always preferred Trek. You know, hate mail to dirt at popculturenetwork.com.
None of that.
This is a great book. This really is.
I don't know. I should have also mentioned that I read Curb Stomp this week. And it's a 4-issue mini. I think it's a 4-issue, 4 or 5-issue miniseries from Boom Studios. It's about a group of, I think, 4 or 5 girls that live in this section of the town. And it's basically like turf warfare, except with women. And they're like, one of them's a rollerblader. It's kind of pretty interesting. I'm going to try to, since it's a miniseries, I'll try to keep up with it.
It's like a Female Warriors or something?
Yeah, kind of in that vein. Everyone's trying to protect their turf. And, like, they're the good, I guess, considered the good guys because they kind of, like, go out on patrol at night to try to keep the peace in the neighborhood, you know, try to keep the other bad people out from doing stuff.
Mm. Okay, cool. Well, since Dirt did Darth Vader, that leaves me open to all new
Darth Vader too. I mean,
I know. I recognize that, but I want to give some love to all new Invaders because you know the book's going out, and it was a good ending to what was a very good book.
Nice.
So it stuck the landing, as they say.
Nice. Happy to hear that. Happy to hear that.
All right, Tim, take us home.
All right. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's episode of Comic Book Chronicles. Shout out to the Classic Material for the tweet. I love that Hickman Mumbo Jumbo is a consistent term uttered on every single episode.
If that ever gets mentioned at like a panel or something where Hickman is interviewed, I can't wait to see it or hear it. That's gonna be so awesome. Hickman Mumbo Jumbo.
Make sure to follow Classic.
If it ever trends on Twitter, then we know
we know, right? We started something.
We need to do that.
Follow Classic Material at at Classic Materia, no L at the end.
That's right.
Because of character limits. And follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Dirt is at PCN underscore Dirt. Go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And Agent 70, the man behind the sound effects, is at Agent underscore 70. In his business attire.
Yeah, overdressed.
Not at all. So we will be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on youtube.com/TheClickNation. Go in the comments and debate what color the dress is.
What is that?
The roommate in the New York Times.
What color?
No, that was the, I think that's, I don't know if that's a real headline. I mean,
is that dress white and gold, or is it blue and black? It's black and blue. I don't know what people are smoking, but
yeah, people were going fool over that earlier.
Oh,
but
God.
And also some llamas escaped from the zoo.
Yeah. God, that is too funny.
Ooh, Twitter.
All right.
So yeah, we'll see you next week. We are the Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!